This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Almos Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. With the fabulous Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. And a tremendous service department that backs it up every step of the way. Inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Let's bring in Patrick Murphy now, joining us from Bucknuts 247. Patrick, how are you?
I am good. We are on the road from Columbus to State College, so eventually we'll get there, and tomorrow we'll get over to the game. Should be a fun one.
Yeah, okay. So let's get to what you've seen to this point. Five rather nondescript games to start, but then Oregon. What did you see, pro and con, in the Oregon game?
I think, you know, you go on the road to the number, what is now the number one team, was then the number four team in the country, in a hostile environment, you lose by one. In a vacuum, that's not a bad result, right? And I think that that perspective is relevant, especially as you head into another top four matchup on the road in a hostile environment. I think you did see some issues defensively, some things that maybe were exposed that hadn't been noticed as much in those first five games that you mentioned. Obviously, the big plays that Ohio State gave up in the past game, something that hadn't happened really much through the first five games. And then the lack of pressure on the defensive line was a concern. You know, Dylan Gabriel, the Oregon quarterback, wasn't sacked once, was pretty comfortable in the pocket throughout most of that game. And so Ohio State had an off week to work on some of those things. It was tough to really read how much they improved against a Nebraska offense that didn't challenge much a week ago. But for me, those are the things that I'm going to be looking at tomorrow in this game, because obviously Penn State's offense will challenge more. And then on the offensive side of the ball, things had been going pretty well for Ohio State, but you lose left tackle Josh Simmons, who's now out for the season. And that seemed to complicate matters offensively for Ohio State a week ago as they struggled to move the ball against Nebraska. Then you lose the left tackle who stepped in, Zen Mikulski, who also got hurt against Nebraska. And now you've probably got to reshuffle the offensive line again. So how that looks, we're still unsure. They were pretty quiet this week about what the offensive line will look like. It took until Wednesday for Ryan Day to even say that Zen Mikulski will probably be out for this game. But it certainly isn't the unit that Ohio State went into the season hoping to have.
All right, so they do have options there because they took Jackson and made him the left tackle and Montgomery the left guard. Is it also not out of the realm of possibly that Fryer plays left tackle and Fitzpatrick moves up on the right side? Is that another possibility?
Certainly. I think this week you kind of had to experiment with everything and try and find the best option. I'm actually a bit surprised that we didn't hear about or see more testing of different guys at left tackle a week ago. Even if Zen had gone out and played pretty well, I think you just want to see what you've got. And I assume they worked on that in practice, but even early in the week last week, Ryan Day was saying that Zen Mikulski was going to be the guy, as opposed to, well, we're going to look at some different options there. Now you're forced to look at some different options. I imagine it will be Donovan Jackson moving to left tackle and somebody else, maybe Luke Montgomery stepping in at left guard. But that's not as easy as just snapping your fingers and it works, right? I mean, it's been since Donovan Jackson's a senior now, it's been since his freshman year, since I think he even played some tackle when he was kind of the sixth offensive lineman for Ohio State. So that, you know, how it works in practice is great, but then you've got to execute it in the game, and you're now going up against Abdul Carter and the rest of this Penn State defensive line. And, you know, it's not the ideal time for Ohio State to have to be trying to figure this out from a Buckeye perspective.
All right, so Will Howard is a player that I've only seen on TV playing when he played with Kansas State, and I was always impressed with him. I liked him a lot. You see him now in person in practical application. What do you like about him at quarterback?
Yeah, I think, A, his veteran presence at this point in his career. He's a fifth-year senior. It's a stark difference for Ohio State from a year ago when you're breaking in Kyle McCord, who was a first-time starter who hadn't played a ton. So that just alone is noticeable. And then you've got not only his ability to throw, which I was a bit questioning coming into the season because watching him at Kansas State, he was good, not great, some careless turnovers. But playing with these Buckeye receivers, I think he's cleaned a lot of that up, and obviously the talent around him has grown. And then his ability to use those legs has changed this Ohio State offense quite a bit, especially as you bring in Chip Kelly, who likes to have a dual-threat quarterback to some degree. In the last two Ohio State quarterbacks, McCord and C.J. Stroud, really did not run. And even Justin Fields, when he was at Ohio State, they didn't use that a ton. So being able to use that and being willing to use it has been important. Not that Will Howard runs a ton. He's been mostly in the pocket passing the ball. But that ability is there. That threat is there. And you know, defenses have to prepare for it.
Right. He never had – I mean, look, I thought Vaughn was very good at Kansas State. But they're not Henderson or Judkins. Correct. What about the four wideouts I saw at USC to this point have been the four best I'd seen in combination to this point? These three, in my opinion, are better. What makes them a terrific receiving group?
Well, it starts with the recruiting. I mean, you look at Emeka Buka, Jeremiah Smith, and Carnell Tate all were top, I think, one, two, or three receivers in their class. And Jeremiah Smith, the freshman, was the top overall recruit, if you look at least the 24/7 sports rankings last year. So talent certainly not lacking from those three. And then just the way that Ohio State's run this wide receiver room under Coach Brian Hartline, a guy who played at Ohio State and played in the NFL for the Dolphins and the Browns. I mean, they've churned out receivers, as I'm sure you know, even going back before they were recruiting at such a high level, with guys like Terry McLaurin, who's now in the Commanders, Paris Campbell, who's kind of bounced around in the NFL, guys like that. So I think there is a culture in that wide receiver room of, A, you bring in talent, but B, that talent has to be willing and able to work and do the things that they need. And they've found the guys that fit all of those things really well. And so you've got a group, as you mentioned, that not only is talented, but also willing to put in the work. Even a guy like Jeremiah Smith, who continues to, you know, impress as a freshman, you wouldn't know it in talking to him and the way he, you know, goes about his business. It's just a guy who's been able to stay very humble.
Yeah, I've done this job for decades, broadcasting Penn State games. I'm well aware of your history of wide receiver. Well aware. Okay, I got it.
Well, I didn't bring up K.J. Hill, who had the late touchdown pass from Dwayne Haskins on that screen pass at Beaver Stadium. So I tried to be merciful there at least a little bit.
That's perfectly fine. I have no problem with that. Defensively, I felt to me in watching, and it's only on tape as opposed to you seeing it in person, but I thought the difference I saw in Ohio State's defense between Oregon and Nebraska was I thought the defensive tackle play was better. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. Tyleek Williams, who, you know, is probably going to be a high draft pick after this season, probably could have been a decently high draft pick had he left after last year, had just come back. He'd missed two games prior to the Oregon game. And I thought he was effective in the Oregon game, but certainly looked to have his footing back more last week against Nebraska. And they did some different things. As simple as this sounds, I know you guys are very familiar with Larry Johnson from his time there, but
yeah, we're
some
friends.
Of the things that he has done seem to be a bit outdated. And, you know, Ohio State was not doing twists or stunts. They weren't bringing extra pressure, simulated pressure as much. You know, Nick Saban called the defensive line antiquated, and I think that's a fair assessment. And, you know, this is not an indictment on Larry Johnson. Obviously, he is one of the best defensive line coaches to ever do it. But I do think that maybe with this group you needed to do a little bit more, and you started to see that up front against Nebraska last week, and I think that certainly helped. Now, again, that was a Nebraska offensive line that isn't as talented as Oregon or Penn State, so we'll see how it works, but you know, it's routine things that Ohio State was not doing, and I think when you started doing them, you started to see the guys up there have a little bit more success.
A guy that really impresses me is Simon. They gave him the block zero for a reason. He earned it. What about his level of play?
Yeah, he has been very important. He missed the first game for the Buckeyes, but since he comes back, he's a leader of the defense. He's the green dot guy, and you know, probably played his best game against Nebraska. There have been some issues tackling early on in the season. Now, this is a guy who was a starter 3 years ago before Jim Knowles came in and started to play that two linebacker system that the Buckeyes play. And despite the fact that he was the third man in the linebacking room, you know, stuck with it, was available whenever they needed guys with injuries and whatnot, and now is getting the chance to kind of be the leader in his fifth season. So, you know, an impressive player, a tough player, but really I think his leadership and some of the things he does off the field are as important as what he can do, you know, physically and on the field for the Buckeyes.
When I was at Ohio State to broadcast basketball in January, that was the weekend that Caleb Downs committed. I got him from Alabama. What kind of difference maker has he been to this point?
It's interesting. If you ask a lot of Buckeye fans, like, they're very disappointed with Caleb Downs, and I think it's just because the numbers aren't the same as what they were at Alabama, where he led the Crimson Tide in tackles last year. But if you really watch the games, he certainly has made an impact, even when he's not the first guy getting to the ball or whatnot. You know, they can move him around in the secondary. He can play up closer to the line of scrimmage. He can do it all, and the one thing that Ryan Day's talked about is his ability to take the film, take meetings to the field, and diagnose things quickly. You know, he may be a key factor in terms of trying to slow down, at least, Tyler Warren. I don't know if he'll be the only one tasked with that, and I don't know what success he'll have because no one seemed to have success with that tight end, but I do believe that Downs will be at least part of the conversation in terms of defending a guy like that, but yeah, I think he's probably, again, brought more than the statistics to the position, and you know, the experience of playing at Alabama and playing in a college football playoff, winning an SEC title last year, certainly invaluable.
But he also returned punts last year for Alabama against Nebraska. I believe that's the first time this season he's back returning punts. Were you surprised he wasn't using that role earlier? Because I know Innes is another five-star wideout they've been using, but were you surprised it took that long to put him back there?
I think Ohio State thought, and I understand the thinking, that there are enough guys, enough talented players that aren't, you know, key to your offense or defense you can use in the return game. And you mentioned Brandon Innes. They've had a couple other guys as well that did some of the special teams returning early in the season. But I think it was a recognition during the bye week that, hey, we've got to kind of unload the clip here. And if Caleb Downs is better than Brandon Innes at doing this, you know, let's get him out there. They both did some returns, so it wasn't exclusively Caleb Downs last week. And Alabama did kind of the same thing. He didn't return a ton of kicks. They had some other guys return it. But he was out there when they needed to return, and you saw the results at times, including, I think, one for a touchdown, which Ohio State hasn't had since 2014. So I think that was a recognition of, hey, we've got to put our best guys out in the positions that they can make plays and let them go.
What's your view of Penn State, and what's your view of the crowd in Beaver Stadium?
I'll answer the second question first. That is the best environment I've been to in college football. Now, I haven't been to some of the SEC stadiums. Oregon was awesome, but it's fantastic there. My soon-to-be sister-in-law went to Penn State, so I have familiarity with all of that and the crowd and everything that goes into it. In terms of the team on the field, it's been impressive to watch this team this year, especially offensively. The new offensive coordinator, whose last name I've tried to pronounce multiple times.
Andy Koltunicki.
There you go. I like a lot of what he brought. I knew he was doing some good things at Kansas, but just schematically, you know, lining Tyler Warren up at that center position or whatever you want to call it against USC, the ways that they have used the guys to maximize their talent, I think is pretty impressive. And then defensively, I think Tom Allen's just picked up where Manny Diaz left off, and not surprising there given what we knew about Tom Allen from his time at Indiana and whatnot. This is a really good team, and you know I picked Penn State to win this game. I think it'll be very close, but this seems to be James Franklin's best shot at doing so against Ohio State, and maybe some of that is you're catching the Buckeyes, you know, like with some of the issues that I mentioned. But you know, I think this is one of the best teams in the country, no doubt.
And if you have any doubts, just call him Coach K. All right.
That's
what people
easier.
Do around here.
I also
here.
Couldn't spell it many times this week.
Right.
Google him multiple times.
That's what I'll tell people. I said, just call him Coach K. That's what some people around here do. Just like when I was talking with Paul Keels, and he asked about Bo Prabula. He says, how do you pronounce that? I said, just say it one time, Bo Prabula. Then the rest of the game, just do what I do. Snaps it back to Bo. After that, you're good. Yeah, it's like little tricks of the trade, okay, Patrick?
Yeah, there you go. I appreciate that.
Hey, thanks so much. Safe trip to you guys on the way in. Can't wait to see you here tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Patrick Murphy, Bucknuts 247. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right. Great to be with you on the show today. Thanks to Patrick Murphy on the road talking to us, driving here to State College to cover the game for Bucknuts 247. And, calm before the storm. I'll get out there. I'm sure the traffic will be a little more intense when I get out there to for the game. And Jack and I will go over to the we'll talk about when to go over tomorrow morning. But, yeah, there'll probably be a little more traffic out there. I know it's been crazy around the Jordan Center all week. And I am going to probably try and get over there just to see. I think there's an open practice today with the fans. So I might get over to watch a little bit of that for basketball. But it's been crazy around the Jordan Center because they were building the big noon set in front of Gate B of the Jordan Center. And then Gate C of the Jordan Center is where they're putting game day. And if people are wondering why game day is there and not the old main lawn like they have before, they putting in the old main lawn would be ridiculous because the other times they put on the old main lawn, the game for Penn State was at night. So people come over, they enjoy it, okay, they're done at 12, there we go. This game's at noon. So if you have any shot of keeping the fans around, you have to have the set near the stadium. You have no choice. I mean, if you have any shot of keeping the fans around, that's the only way you can do it for the optics of game day. And look, the opening part of game day from 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock, I think it's going to be crazy over there, I'm sure. Am I going to go over? No. No need. I've never gone to game day. Never have.
You just didn't get done drawing your sign.
No, yeah, that's right. I mean, why would I go over to that? Okay. I've got my own job to do. So I don't need to go over to that. But now, have the game day guys ever called me and said, hey, can we talk for a couple of minutes? Yes. But in terms of going over to it, I've got my own stuff to do. So, you know, and I respect what they do. There's no disrespect on my part whatsoever. Zero. It's just I have my own job to do. Just like if I were hosting game day and they were broadcasting the game on one of the two networks, Penn State or Ohio State, I'm sure they would, you know, they would say, well, we're not coming over either. Like, you know, get up there. I mean, I'm going to have to do something for the Ohio State network first. Because Paul Keels, he's already asked me to do it. If, you know, these guys ask, you automatically do it. These are my friends. You know? Paul and I have known each other for 30 years, for goodness sakes. If he asked me to do a 5 to 10 minute piece for him on their pregame show, absolutely.
The amount of stuff you've done this week, you should have your whole spiel memorized by now.
Yeah, I've got one left. I've got one left this afternoon at 5:30, and that's fine. It's expected, and it doesn't bother me. The only time I get bothered is if I get one the last second. Can you be on our show in an hour? Like, okay. But if they're done a day or two ahead of time, I'm like, okay, I can fit it in here or I can fit it in here. And then I make sure it works because that's what we want on our show, right?
You an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by my two personal favorites, the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarkets. No King yet. Hopefully we'll get him on here pretty soon. So, Bob Costas is going to retire from calling games. Costas, who's had just an absolutely unbelievable career. When you think about the Olympics, for example, how fortunate have we been as American viewers to have the steadiness and the intelligence in the chair of Jim McKay, Bob Costas, and now Mike Tirico. Three of the best. And Costas, of course, you know, he's called the NFL, he's called the NBA. But we all know what his passion is for baseball. He loves baseball. And when Jeff Zucker was running, Jeff Zucker had been, I think, a researcher for Bob Costas on the Olympics back in the 80s. Well, eventually Jeff Zucker became the head of CNN. So he hired Costas at CNN. And then, of course, you know what CNN means. If you're with Turner, that means TNT falls under that category, and they got the Major League Baseball, American League package. Okay? Well, that was an opportunity for Zucker to put Bob Costas on baseball. And even though Brian Anderson's considered to be the number one guy, Costas is the one that actually kept getting the more high profile, like the Yankees and Guardian series, for example. He's 72 now, and maybe he just felt this was time. His contract was naturally up anyway. And maybe he felt that 72 was time. I know that in reading stories, he was not happy about his performance a year ago. Okay. There have been younger viewers that have not been enamored with his style and weaving the past in with the present and so forth. But to me, that's part of baseball. Part of baseball is weaving in the past with the present. You have to pick your spots to do it. In last night's talk show, for example, at the field, Marcus Allen was there, and somebody brought up the block kick from a few years ago. And right going into break, I pointed out that from 1887 to today, that is the only time in the history of Penn State football where Penn State has blocked a field goal and run it back for a touchdown. That's just a little factoid that's just interesting you throw in there at that point. Because everybody in the room went, oh, wow. And even James looked over and says, man, I didn't know that. And I looked over and said, well, I'm finally good for something. Right? And now, so you have to have the ability to do that. And baseball has time that lends itself to it. Because to be honest with you, baseball, for example, today does a lousy job of giving perspective on national broadcasts, and I'll give you one. I think they put up a graphic showing that Bernie Williams has 17 postseason home runs and Mickey Mantle had 15. Well, where's the perspective on it? I mean, Bernie Williams played 121 postseason games. Mickey Mantle played 65 postseason games. They were all in the World Series. There were no wild card games, divisional series, championship series. Every Mickey Mantle home run occurred in the World Series. I mean, there had to be separate categories of perspective. In fact, I think Mantle had 18 home runs, and with Bernie Williams at 21 or something like that, because Babe Ruth hit 15. Mantle broke his record with 18. Well, there has to be some perspective here on that. There had to be separate categories: career postseason home runs, career World Series home runs. Simple enough to do. But baseball doesn't lend that perspective. But baseball and Major League Baseball, because Major League Baseball wants you to think this is the greatest era of everything, and it's not. There are some parts of today's game that are spectacular, the best ever, and there's some parts of today's game that fall short. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what World Series the last time a pitcher didn't cover first base. Yeah. It's a sport that features Judge, Otani, Freeman, Soto, great players. I mean, legitimately great players. It would be great in any era. We're playing these World Series games in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Those four guys would be, whoa, what do we do with them? But let's go back to game one of the series. I want to give Derek Jeter all the credit in the world. In game one of the World Series, Cole's going along, and Aaron Boone took him out at 88 pitches. And he started talking about Al Leiter facing him in 2000. And Leiter threw, 121 pitches or some number like that. Right? He says, I don't get it. He says, the guy's going great. Why do you take him out? I give Derek Jeter credit. He's the one that brought it up. Like, hey, good for you. Because guess what? It doesn't make sense. That's why today, there's, like I said, parts of today's game are the best it's ever been, and parts of today's game fall incredibly short. Well, that's one of them. You know, that's just a baseball example. It's a lot. It's like that in a lot of sports too.
It is always funny when they mention all those postseason records during baseball that they're all set since like 2005, and they really never mention why they're all since 2005.
Right. Again, you know. Okay. And that's the part. And he says, "So we're talking about how we played the Mets." He says, "Al Leiter threw like 140-something pitches." Well, he did, because the Mets needed him to throw 140-something pitches. He was their best option. Cole gets yanked after 88. We go back to Kevin Cash with Tampa Bay and Blake Snell. Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't get it. I was talking about when Louis Tion passed away. So he threw 168 pitches in Game 4 of the World Series. The Red Sox needed all 168. They won the game 5-4. Well, you do what you got to do. So that's why there's certain parts of the game, a lot of these games, where we're seeing the best football ever, the best baseball ever, the best hockey ever, the best basketball ever, but not in every category. There are categories in all four sports where it falls short, where it could be even greater if they had the same, you know, some of the same things of maybe some old school thrown in there. Okay, let's go back to the 70s, 80s, and 90s and into the early 2000s. You ever see a guy go into the end zone and drop the ball at the one-yard line? Anybody? Kid for the Jets makes a great play. You ever see anybody drop the ball at the 1-2-yard line? Happened last night. Took a touchdown off the board. Like, what are you doing? I mean, what are you doing? I never saw that until 10, 12 years ago. Now you see it like, I don't know, anywhere from 4 to 8 times a season. Like, what are you doing? What are you dropping the ball there for? Why don't you get to the end line and drop it? That way you know you're in. That's the best of the game? Really? That's the best of the game. No. We see stuff like that today. It makes no sense. None. At all. What sense did that make? You'll see basketball shot selection. You'll sit back and go, what the heck? I'll tell you a sport where I think it's the best I've ever seen it end to end, because I think they've changed the hockey rules in such a way where the hockey's a lot more fun to watch. You know, so you may have 2-1 games, but you don't feel like it's a grinding game. But like, I'll see like the Wilson play last night, the catch, unbelievable. Like, wow. Well, in other eras, who else can make that catch? I mean, they talked about Odell Beckham Jr. But in other eras, who made that kind of catch with that kind of speed, that kind of agility, that kind of dexterity, that kind of athleticism? Wow. And then you got the kid in the first half, like, drops the ball at the 2. Like, what are you doing? I watch Aaron Judge hit one 400-some-odd feet to right center field. Unbelievable. Like, wow. I watch him crash into the wall to make a catch. A man that size? Incredible. Then I watch him drop a fly ball. What? See, crazy things where you see the best 1 second and you see something that is inexplicable the next. You know what's interesting, too, Todd? The NFL. NFL ratings have been great, 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 great. They went and they broke it down, like local markets. Local markets are, like, doing okay. Nationally, they're doing great with games. Local markets are actually down a little bit in certain areas. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't know it either until I read it today. I went, really? The national ratings are great. Games in local markets, not all, but some, are down. I thought, geez, that's kind of a interesting, did not know.
I wonder what that means. I wonder if that's the, you know, we talk all the time that there's going to be some, you know, we think that there's going to be some cracks from the, you know, some of the decisions they made. I just wonder if that's the first tiny one and something we'll realize in 5-8 years or not.
I don't know. And I don't know what it means. But I thought it was interesting when I read it. I don't know. So, if you had a chance tomorrow, who would you want to interview? Pat McAfee, Nick Saban, Desmond Howard, Reese Davis, or Jason Kelsey?
My wife would kill me if I didn't pick Jason Kelsey.
What would you ask him?
Please stay away from my wife now.
Oh, mercy me. Oh, the show has just gone right down the toilet.
I'd want to know what the biggest adjustment was for him, you know, in retirement. Just getting used to, you know, not being amped up for a season and all the things, you know. I think you know as well as I do that, you know, it's a year-round thing now. And how do you kind of fill that void in your life now?
I think he's... I'll tell you, he has done a good job of filling the voids. And I'll say this, on television every 2 seconds.
I was going to say, he's filled the void monetarily.
Yeah. Oh, here you go. Here's Sports Business Journal on this. It's interesting. Local NFL TV ratings are down 25 of the 32 teams through Week 8, despite national ratings holding steady. According to John Orrand of Puck. The Giants are down 33%, no surprise. The Jets are down 32%. The Chargers are down 25%, and they have a winning record. Patriots down 25%. Browns down 20%. On the positive side, the Texans are up 36%. Detroit Lions are up 10%. How about that? Can't believe that losing equates to fewer people watching. I'm shocked.
Stunning.
Who came up with that ridiculous idea?
Yeah.
But 25 of the 32 have seen a local decline. Yikes. Now, the good news is the Jets are only on primetime one more time. That's a Sunday night game between the Jets and the Indianapolis Colts. Who the heck wants to watch that game outside of the two markets?
Joe Flacco's family in New Jersey?
Even they're not sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Crazy. But yeah, local market ratings are down while the national ones remain steady. Jason Kelsey, your first question. Can you stay away from my wife? Now, what's the thought process here?
Uh-huh.
Hi. All right. Wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, game tomorrow, noon. We're on beginning at 10:30. Don't lose that number, man.
Depends on whose it is.
Oh.
But I will not lose Ricky's.
Oh. Who would want to do that? Absolutely not. All right, so... let's see how she goes. I mean, that's, you know, everybody's been waiting for this for months. Let's see how she goes.
Months. Year.
I know. Well, let's just see. Yeah, and have fun with it. Get there early and get yourself into your seats and gear up for a 3 to 3.5 hour passion play.
I was going to say, be ready to white knuckle for those 3 hours, I would think.
There'll be a lot of twists and turns. Well, if you're going to play it, you might as well win it.
It's a good way to look at it.
This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up right now for your tailgate. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh or not every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.